Everyone, and welcome to another deep dive.
AI is like the hot topic right now.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Everyone's talking about it.
And today we're going to be going beyond the hype to really understand what it actually takes to like build those data platforms and AI-powered apps, you know, the stuff that everyone wants to be building. And to do that, we're going to be looking at someone who's actually done it.
It's not all just theory today.
Yeah, we're learning from someone who's been there, made the mistakes,
Even
and
mistakes.
come out the other side, hopefully a little bit wiser for it.
Yeah, we're tapping into the experience of Madhumita Mantri. She is the host of the Product Mastery in the Age of AI in ChatGPT podcast.
Catchy title.
Yeah, very catchy.
And she's really laid out her journey for us. So we're going to be digging into all the real world nitty-gritty
Nitty-gritty.
of what she did.
Right, and what she learned.
And okay, like imagine building like a personalization feature. You're pouring your heart into it. You know the whole team's working on it. And then it just flops
Oh no.
because mismatched user IDs in your databases.
Oh my gosh.
Right? Or like your AI model's amazing in the test environment.
Oh yeah.
But then you release it
Into the real world.
into the real world and it just bombs.
It's completely tanks.
Yeah, Monterey has been through it
Oh
all.
yeah.
And she's holding nothing back.
No, she's telling all.
So I think one of the big things that I got from her story is that like AI product management, it's just a completely different beast
It really is.
compared to like traditional app development.
It is a whole different ball game.
Right.
Yeah, and one of her early realizations was that the data pipeline,
Yes.
that's where it all begins.
It's king.
It's king.
Yeah. It's not just about a cool front end or like a clever back end anymore.
It's all about the data.
Yeah. And you know, anyone listening is probably like, oh.
Data is important. I get it.
Data, we hear it all the
But
time.
like her story really brings it home. She had this personalization feature, like we were just saying, that tanked because the user IDs didn't match across different databases.
Different databases. Could you imagine?
Oh, that's a nightmare.
Nightmare
A complete
for
nightmare.
any product manager.
Especially when you pour your heart and soul into it,
Totally.
and then it just,
And you think it's going to be amazing?
you think it's going to change the world, and then mismatched user IDs.
Yeah, so it really highlights how important it is to
Absolutely.
like have data integration and governance
Yes.
from day one.
From the very beginning.
Right. Like if you are listening to this and you're thinking about like, you know, working on a project with data or AI or
Are
whatever.
you confident in your data?
Yeah.
Do you have all your systems in place?
Like, do you
Do you
trust
trust that
Spaces?
data? Because if not, you might be setting yourself up for a similar disaster.
Totally. And, you know, it's not even just about getting the data right at the start. Right.
It's about constantly making sure.
Yeah, she really emphasizes how AI models are.
They're living, breathing things.
Yeah, they're alive.
They are not like traditional apps
No.
where you build it and then
To set it and forget it.
set and forget it, you know?
They need constant care and feeding.
They need to be taken care of.
Yeah.
You need to be constantly monitoring them, retraining them, iterating on them, because user behavior changes, data patterns shift. The world itself is in constant flux.
Right, so like a static AI model,
That's a failing AI model.
that's gonna fail.
It's gonna fail.
So I'm really curious about this whole like explainability thing because
Stability.
she talked about a fraud detection AI that like went haywire and started flagging legitimate
Like
transactions.
false positives everywhere.
Yeah. So I can only imagine the panic that that caused.
For sure.
Right, and it really brings up that question of like, how do you build trust in
Trust.
a system that often feels like a black box?
Because how do you convince people to trust an AI's decisions when they don't even understand how it's making those decisions?
It's like asking someone to trust a chef who won't tell them what's in their secret sauce.
People need to know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, they need to know the ingredients.
They need to understand the reasoning
Yeah.
behind the AI's
So
actions.
that's where explainability comes in.
Explainability is key.
Right. You need to be able to translate what's happening in the AI into like human language.
Into something that people can actually wrap their heads around.
Right. And this is where things get interesting because this really highlights how important it is to have that.
Collaboration,
Curse fungal word.
cross-functional collaborator.
Collaboration. Right. You're not just talking to like design and
It's not
engineering.
just your typical dev team anymore.
Yeah, now you've got data scientists.
You got data scientists, ML engineers.
Maybe even like data privacy experts.
Oh, yeah, depending on what you're building.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of people to bring into the fold.
That's a lot of juggling.
It is a lot of juggling.
Right. So I can only imagine how important communication is to
you. Yeah, they have to make sure everybody's on the same page.
Yeah, and everyone understands like what's going on.
What's going on, why it's important, and how we're going to get there.
So if you are working on a project like this.
Think about your team.
Yeah.
Do you have the right communication channels in place?
Yeah. Do you have the processes?
The processes, the systems to really work effectively across all these different teams mm-hmm. with all this specialized expertise.
Because like an AI project really requires you to like...
Break down those silos.
Break down silos.
And foster a much more collaborative environment.
Yeah, get everyone working together.
Get everyone working together.
Okay, so we have established that AI product management...
It's a different beast.
It's different.
It's a whole different beast.
So let's get into like...
The nitty gritty.
The nitty gritty.
Yeah.
Montree breaks this whole process down.
Yes.
Into a 7-step product life cycle.
7 steps.
And the first step.
Step one.
Is all about ideation and opportunity discovery.
Yeah. This is where the magic happens.
This is the fun part, right?
This is the fun part.
Like finding those aha moments.
The aha moments.
Where AI can really shine.
Where AI can make a difference.
And what I thought was really cool is that she doesn't just like.
Right.
Sit in a room.
She doesn't brainstorm in a vacuum.
And like brainstorm.
No, she talks to customers.
Yeah. She starts by talking to customers.
She digs into the usage data.
Right.
She looks at what's actually happening.
Yeah, that's how she figures out.
That's how she figures out.
That they need an AI-powered knowledge base search engine.
That's right.
Hold on, an AI knowledge base.
Yes.
That sounds...
It's brilliant.
Super useful.
It's brilliant.
Like, I'm sure a lot of companies out there could benefit from that.
Absolutely.
So what was it that sparked that idea for her?
Well, she noticed that users were struggling to find the information they needed.
Oh, right.
They were spending way too much time sifting through all those irrelevant search results.
Right.
You know, just pages and pages of stuff they didn't need.
And that's when the light bulb went off.
That's when the light bulb went off.
AI for search.
Make search smarter.
Make it more intuitive.
Yeah.
And actually help people find what they need.
Genius.
Pure genius.
But, you know, it's not just about having a cool idea.
Right.
She's also super practical.
Yeah.
She's like, before you get too excited,
uh-huh.
you need to make sure you actually have the data.
You got to have the data.
To support your AI vision.
The data has to be there.
Yeah.
It's like checking your pantry before you start baking a cake.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that analogy. You need to make sure you have all the right ingredients.
Right.
That they're fresh.
And usable.
They're usable. They're not expired.
Right.
Otherwise, your cake is going to be a flop.
A flop.
Yeah. And the same goes for AI.
Yeah.
No data. No AI.
So you've got your idea.
You've got your idea.
You've validated it.
Validated.
Check the pantry.
Check the pantry.
You've got the data.
You got the data.
What's next?
Well, step two is all about defining those use cases.
Okay.
And outlining those platform requirements.
So this is where you get specific.
This is where you get specific.
About what your AI needs to do.
What does it need to do?
And how it's going to work with all your systems.
How does it fit in with everything else?
So this is where you put on your product manager hat.
This is where the product manager brain kicks into gear.
Yeah, you're defining those user stories.
You're defining those user stories.
You're outlining the technical implications.
They're thinking about all the different pieces.
And to make sure that this solution is actually feasible.
You got to bring in the expert.
Yeah, she brings in the technical experts early on.
Early on.
For this thing she calls a feasibility session.
A feasibility session.
With the data science and engineering teams.
Get everybody together.
It's like a reality check.
It's a reality check.
Before you invest too much time.
Before you get too far down the rabbit hole.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's really about having...
An open and honest conversation.
Yeah, an open, honest conversation with the technical team.
With the technical team.
To be like, can we actually build this?
Do we build this? Does it make sense?
Right. Are there any limitations?
Were there any limitations? Are we going to hit a roadblock?
Because it's better to find out now.
Find out.
Than in the middle of the project.
Absolutely.
Right. And I love that she's not afraid to make, like, tough choices.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
She's willing to pivot.
She initially wanted to build this massive data lake.
A massive data lake.
For this knowledge-based project.
It was going to be huge.
But it would have taken forever.
It was going to take months and months.
Months and months.
And she knew they had to move faster.
Yeah, so she got scrappy.
She got scrappy.
And launched a smaller pilot.
A smaller pilot.
With a curated data set.
Just to get things moving.
Just to get things moving.
To test out the concept.
What a great lesson in balancing, like,
It is a great look.
Long-term vision with short-term pragmatism.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to be willing to make those tough choices.
Yeah.
To adjust your plans.
And she has a really good tip for managing those complexities.
Oh, what's that?
Including data and AI requirements.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Right in the product requirements document.
Right in the PRD.
Yeah, so you're thinking through all those data sources.
All the data sources. The performance metrics.
The ethical considerations.
The ethical considerations, everything.
From the very beginning.
From the very beginning.
Like having a checklist.
It's like a checklist.
To make sure you're covering all your bases.
Ensure you're not missing anything.
And it helps keep everyone aligned.
Alignment is key.
Right.
Yeah.
Between the product vision and like the technical reality.
The technical reality of the project.
Speaking of alignment.
Oh, yes.
This brings us to step three.
Step three.
Of the life cycle.
Cross-functional strategy.
Roadmap and timeline.
Roadmap and timeline.
And this is where Montri learned a hard lesson.
Oh, tell me about it.
Early stakeholder alignment is key.
It is absolutely crucial.
She was talking about how she had this idea
yeah.
for the knowledge-based AI, and she went to pitch it to the customer success and the engineering teams.
She wanted to get everyone on board.
To get everyone on board from the get-go.
From the very beginning.
And she learned that that is so important.
It's so important because AI projects.
Yeah.
They're not solo missions.
No.
You can't do it alone.
You've got to get everyone working together.
You've got multiple teams involved. Each with their own priorities and timelines.
Right.
So getting everybody on the same page early on
yes.
can save you a lot of headaches down the road.
Avoid those nasty surprises later.
Absolutely.
Right. And to keep everyone on track.
Yes.
Montri breaks the roadmap down.
Break it down.
Into clear stages.
Clear stages.
POC.
POC.
MVP.
MVP.
Beta. It's like a visual map.
It's a map
of the journey,
a roadmap
with milestones
and the checkpoints along the way.
Checkpoints along the way.
So everyone knows what needs to be done by when.
Exactly. It promotes transparency
and accountability.
Accountability.
But as she discovered,
yeah.
estimating complexity.
Like estimating complexity.
In AI projects.
Oh, it's so tricky.
Can be tricky.
It's so tricky because there are often hidden challenges.
Oh, yeah.
That emerge. Only after you start digging deeper.
Oh, tell me about it.
You think you've got it all figured out, and
yeah.
then bam.
Yeah. Her team discovered mid-project.
Oh, no.
That their data needed massive cleanup.
Oh, the dreaded data cleanup.
Which completely threw off their timeline. It threw everything off.
That must have been stressful.
Oh, it was a scramble.
Yeah.
But you know what? It really highlights the importance of...
What's that?
Flexibility and open communication.
Being able to adapt.
Adapt.
Yeah.
And being open to those changes and being willing to talk about it.
Yeah. So she recommends scheduling regular sync-ups.
Regular sync-up.
With all the teams involved.
All the teams.
To check progress, address concerns.
Address concern.
And adjust timelines as needed. Yeah,
adjust those timelines.
Yeah. It's all about being able to like roll with the punches.
It's a rolling with the punches and working collaboratively.
Yeah.
To find solutions.
Okay. So this whole POC thing.
POCs.
Proof of concept.
Proof of concept.
It sounds like a mini experiment.
It's like a mini experiment.
To test out your idea.
Test it out.
Before you go all in.
Before you go all in.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do you approach a POC?
Well, the key is to define those success criteria up front.
Okay.
What are you trying to prove?
Yeah.
What are the metrics?
What are you measuring?
What are you measuring to determine whether it's a go or a no-go?
Okay. So for the knowledge base.
Yeah.
Montri's goal was to get 70%
accuracy. 70%
accuracy. In returning relevant articles.
For a set of test queries.
Okay, so you're testing it out.
You're testing it out.
With some real data.
With real data, but on a small scale.
On a small scale.
Yeah.
And then I love that she brings in the team throughout the process.
Oh, yeah.
So she brought the prototype.
A basic prototype.
And a support team.
Yeah.
To get their early feedback.
To get that early feedback.
Right.
That feedback loop is invaluable.
Yes. Because it helps you identify.
Identify challenges.
Challenges new ideas.
Spark new ideas.
Yeah, it's about getting that collective wisdom.
Collective wisdom.
Okay, so let's say the POC is a smashing success.
It's a success.
What happens next?
We move on to step five.
Step five.
Detailed solution design and implementation.
Okay, so we're going from prototype.
From prototype.
To fully fledged product.
To the real deal. Yeah. This is where those blueprints come in.
This is where we get the blueprints. The technical specs.
All those technical specs.
Yeah.
You know, data flow, model placement, API integrations, all that fun stuff.
And this is where we get into the world of model productionization.
Model productionization.
Which sounds very intimidating.
It sounds intimidating.
But what does it actually mean?
It's actually simpler than it sounds.
Okay.
Think of it like setting up an assembly line for your AI.
Okay.
You've got your raw materials.
The data.
The data.
Yeah.
You've got your manufacturing process.
The AI model.
The AI model.
And then you've got your finished product.
The AI-powered feature.
Right. So it's about making sure that whole process runs smoothly.
Smoothly and efficiently.
In the real world.
In the real world.
Right.
Yeah.
So can your AI handle...
Can it handle the demands of real users?
Real users.
And real world data.
Real world data.
That's the question.
Yeah.
And that's where those MLOps pipelines come in.
MLOps pipelines.
Yeah. They're like the secret sauce.
They sound important.
They are very important.
What do they do?
They automate all those essential tasks.
Like what?
Testing, retraining, deploying updates.
So your AI is always up to date.
It stays sharp and accurate.
Without you having to do everything manually.
Without constant manual intervention.
Okay. So you've built your AI. You've built it. It's running smoothly.
It's running smoothly.
You're feeling good.
Feeling good.
What's next?
Well, you don't just release it into the world and hope for the best.
Don't you?
No.
Okay.
There's a lot more to launching an AI feature.
So this is step six.
Step six, launch activities and considerations.
So this is where marketing comes in?
Well, marketing's part of it.
Communications,
spreading the word.
Yeah.
But it's also about making sure the transition is smooth for your users.
Right.
It's about user experience.
So Montri recommends beta testing.
Beta testing.
And a phased rollout.
Phased rollout.
To monitor performance in the real world.
Before you go big.
Before you go big.
Yeah.
Right. And I remember she was talking about how she tested the knowledge base AI with a small group.
A small group.
Of internal support agents.
Yeah, like a test audience.
Yeah. Like a dress rehearsal.
A dress rehearsal.
Before opening night.
Before opening night.
Yeah.
To catch those last minute issues.
And it's not just about like technical performance. You also have to think about like
the user's
training.
User training.
Documentation.
Because AI can be kind of intimidating.
It can be intimidating, especially for people who aren't familiar with it.
Yeah. So you've got to make sure that people feel comfortable using it.
You've got to make them feel comfortable and confident.
But even with a well-planned launch,
you
know, unexpected challenges can arise.
Oh, they always do.
She was talking about how
there
was some resistance.
User resistance.
To the new knowledge base.
Even though it was more accurate.
Even though it was better.
Than the old one. Why would anyone resist something that's better?
It's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it just goes to show that change can be difficult.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to technology.
Especially technology that people don't understand.
Technology that feels opaque or unfamiliar.
So how do you overcome that resistance?
Well, you've got to build trust.
You've got to build trust.
Yeah, one way to do that is to provide feedback channels.
Okay.
And opportunities for users to actually engage with the AI.
So they feel like they're part of it.
They feel like they're part of the process.
Yeah.
And you're getting valuable data.
Right.
To refine that model and improve the accuracy.
But I'm guessing the work doesn't stop there.
Oh, no. It doesn't stop there.
Because step seven is all about post-launch monitoring and iteration.
That's right. Launching is just the beginning.
So you're constantly checking the AI's pulse.
You're checking the pulse.
Right.
Making sure it's healthy.
Making sure it's performing as expected.
And that it's still meeting those user needs.
But it's more than just maintenance, right?
It's more than just maintenance.
It's about
continuous improvement.
Continuous improvement.
You're always looking for ways to make it better.
Yeah, so you're gathering data.
Gathering data, analyzing performance.
Identifying areas for improvement.
Identifying those areas for improvement.
And then making changes.
And then making changes.
Right. It's a cycle.
It's a cycle.
It never ends.
It never ends.
And that's the beauty of it.
So you really have to embrace that feedback loop.
Embrace the feedback loop because that's how you get better.
And don't be afraid to experiment.
Experiment. Try new things.
Yeah.
And learn from your mistakes.
Because that's how you learn.
That's how you learn.
Okay, so Montri has definitely learned a ton from her experience.
Well, yeah.
But what were some of the biggest challenges?
The biggest challenges
that she faced.
Well, she talked about four major areas.
Okay.
Data governance and quality.
Okay.
Ethical considerations. Mm-hmm. Complex stakeholder management.
And tooling and technology choices.
Wow, those sound like pretty universal challenges.
They are challenges that pretty much every organization faces.
Yeah, whether they're working on AI or not.
Yeah, these are just good product management practices.
Yeah, so let's start with data governance.
Data governance.
And quality.
Data quality.
Because she learned the hard way.
The hard way.
That inconsistent data.
Inconsistent data.
Can sabotage the most brilliant AI idea.
It can sabotage everything.
It's like building a house on a foundation of sand.
Exactly. It's not going to stand.
So how do you make sure?
How do you make sure?
Your data is clean.
Clean.
Consistent.
Consistent.
And reliable.
Reliable. You need a solid data governance plan.
A plan.
A plan processes for collecting, storing, and managing your data.
Right. It's not just about like...
It's not just about having the data.
Having the data, you've got to...
You've got to take care of it.
Take care of it.
You've got to nurture it.
Yeah. And you've got to invest.
You've got to invest in the tools and resources, in the right tools.
To monitor the data quality.
To monitor that quality.
And identify those potential issues before they become big problems.
Yeah, it's like having a cleaning crew.
It's like having a cleaning crew.
For your data.
For your data, constantly scrubbing and polishing.
And it's sparkling.
Making sure it's sparkling clean and ready to use.
But what about the stakeholder management piece?
Stakeholder management.
Because I imagine that can be a real headache.
Oh, it can be a huge headache.
With so many different teams involved.
So many different teams.
Yeah.
Engineers, data scientists, product managers, marketing folks, legal teams.
Oh my gosh.
Even the occasional executive.
It sounds like herding cats.
It's like herding cats, but with much higher stakes.
Yeah, so how do you keep everyone on the same page?
Communication is key.
Communication.
Clear communication.
Yeah.
You need to establish those regular communication channels.
Yeah.
Whether it's weekly stand-up meetings, shared documents, a dedicated Slack channel, whatever works for your team. Yeah, it's about creating that culture of transparency.
Transparency.
And collaboration.
Collaboration.
Where everyone feels comfortable.
Comfortable sharing their perspectives.
Yeah.
And raising concerns.
And documentation is also super important.
Documentation is crucial.
Yeah.
Having that single source of truth.
Single source of truth.
Whether it's a detailed project plan, a shared glossary of terms, or a living technical spec can help avoid so much confusion.
Yeah. Confusion, miscommunication.
Miscommunication.
Okay. So we've talked about data.
We've talked about data.
We've talked about stakeholders.
Stakeholders.
Now let's talk about tools and technology. Because with so many new AI frameworks popping up.
All the time.
It can be tempting to just jump on the bandwagon.
The bandwagon.
Yeah.
But Montri cautions against chasing the hype.
Don't chase the hype.
She learned that sometimes the tried and true tools are the best choice.
Yeah.
For stability and reliability.
She was talking about how her team chose this like hyped up ML library and it turned out to be super buggy.
Buggy and unstable.
Yeah. And they had to migrate.
They had to migrate.
To a more mature framework.
In the middle of the project.
Mid project.
What a pain.
That must have been.
Welcome back to the deep dive.
We're picking up where we left off.
Yeah. Diving into all things AI.
With the amazing Marimita Montri.
So last time we talked about like...
The high-level challenges.
The challenges.
Yeah, and that seven-step process.
Her seven-step process for building AI products.
Like a roadmap for success.
Yeah, but she also gave some really practical advice.
Ooh, yeah.
For like anyone who's thinking...
Okay, this all sounds great, but how do I actually get started?
Yeah, like I'm fired up about AI.
But where do I begin?
Where do I begin?
What's the first step?
Yeah. And Montri seems to have like cracked the code.
She's figured it out.
So spill the beans.
Okay. Her approach is all about learning by doing.
Learning by doing.
Yeah. Don't wait for the perfect opportunity.
Just dive in.
Just dive in. Get your hands dirty.
It's so refreshing. It is.
Yeah.
It's about experimentation.
Experimentation.
It's about learning. It's about not being afraid to fail.
Because sometimes we get so caught up
in the complexity.
In the complexities of AI.
Yeah, all the technical jargon.
That we forget it's really about
just trying things out.
Trying things out and learning as you go.
And learning as you go.
It's like that famous quote.
What's that?
The best way to learn is by doing the blog.
Exactly.
And she actually suggests like building something simple.
Simple but practical.
Yeah.
Like a recommendation system for your blog.
Okay.
Or a sentiment analyzer for tweets.
So it doesn't have to be this big, complex.
It doesn't have to be fancy. Just something to get you started.
Yeah, something to get your feet wet.
To work with real data.
Yeah.
And apply those AI techniques.
So it's like building a mini AI product.
A mini AI product.
In your spare time.
In your spare time.
But how do you make sure you're actually learning from it?
That's a good question. Because it's easy to get lost in the weeds and not really grasp the bigger picture.
You might build something cool.
Yeah.
but not really understand
what you did.
Yeah, what you did.
Well, Mantri emphasizes the importance of documentation.
Documentation.
Even for personal projects.
Even for personal projects.
I know it might seem tedious.
Yeah.
But trust me, it's worth it.
Why?
Because imagine trying to reproduce a successful experiment months later.
Yeah.
And you have no notes.
Oh, I've been there.
It's like trying to retrace your steps after a night out with friends.
You know you had fun.
You know you had fun.
But the details are fuzzy.
The details are fuzzy.
Yeah.
So documentation can save you a lot of headaches down the road.
And it's not just about avoiding headaches.
Right, right.
It's also like a really valuable asset.
It's a valuable asset.
For showcasing your skill.
To potential employers or clients.
Yeah.
It shows that you're serious about AI.
Yeah, you're not just messing around.
You're approaching it with a systematic mindset.
Yeah, it's like a portfolio.
It's like a portfolio of your AI experiment.
Of your learning journey.
Of your learning journey.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a great way to show off what you've learned.
Now let's talk about community.
Community.
Because Mantri is a big believer.
In the power of community.
Yeah, in connecting with others.
Connecting with others.
In the AI space.
In the AI space.
Why is that so important?
Well, learning AI in isolation can be tough.
Yeah, it can get lonely.
It can get lonely.
Right.
And it could be really challenging to stay motivated when you're doing it all alone.
When you don't have anyone to bounce ideas off of.
Exactly.
Right.
So connecting with others allows you to tap into that collective intelligence.
Collective intelligence.
Yeah, a network of people who are facing similar challenges, sharing their knowledge and pushing the boundaries of what's possible with AI.
Yeah, it's like having a support group.
It's like a support group for AI enthusiasts.
Yeah.
A place where you can celebrate your wins, commiserate over your failures, and learn from each other's experiences.
Yeah, and you don't even have to go far to find this community.
Right. You can attend local meetups.
Local meetups.
Join online forums.
Or even just like engage in conversations on social media.
Social media is a great place to connect with other AI enthusiasts.
Yeah, the AI community is really welcoming.
They're very welcoming.
And always eager to help.
Always eager to share their knowledge and support each other.
Okay, so we've talked about a lot of Mantri's advice.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground.
Let's take a moment to connect all of this back to the listener.
Back to you.
Yeah, think about a project you're working on.
Or an AI feature you'd love to develop.
Yeah. How can you apply her advice to your work?
Think about it. What are some of the things that she talked about that resonated with you?
Yeah. And how can you put those into practice?
Do you need to strengthen your technical understanding in a specific area?
Are you carving out time for continuous learning?
How are you communicating the value of AI to your stakeholders?
Are you embracing an iterative mindset?
Where failure is seen as an opportunity for growth.
Yeah, these are all good questions to ask yourself.
As you embark on your AI journey.
And remember, building successful AI products is a marathon.
It's a marathon.
Not a sprint.
Not a sprint.
It takes time and effort.
It takes time and effort.
And a lot of learning along the way.
But as Mathimita Mantri's story shows us.
It's definitely a journey.
It's a journey filled with challenges.
It also
immense rewards.
So before we wrap up this part,
okay,
let's give our listeners a little sneak peek.
The sneak peek at what's coming up.
In the final part.
In the final part of the deep dive.
Oh, this is exciting.
We're going to be exploring specific resources and tools.
Resources and tools.
That can help you.
On your AI journey.
On your AI journey.
And we're also going to be discussing some of the broader implications of AI.
Ooh. The big picture stuff.
The big picture stuff.
Yeah, how AI is changing the world.
And how we can shape that future.
So stay tuned for more insights.
And inspirations. As we continue exploring the world of AI product development. All right, we are back.
For the final part of our AI deep dive.
I feel like we've been on this amazing journey.
It has been quite a journey.
With Mathimita Mantri.
Absorbing all that wisdom.
Yeah, learning so much about building AI products.
Real world AI products.
In a real world.
Yeah, not just theory.
But let's get down to like...
the practical stuff.
The practical stuff.
The tools.
Yeah, because our listeners are probably thinking, okay...
I'm ready.
I'm excited about AI.
Yeah.
But where are the tools?
Where are the resources?
The resources.
Yeah, how do I actually make this happen?
Yeah, how do I build this stuff?
The good news is...
What is the good news?
The AI landscape is full of amazing resources.
It is.
And a lot of them are free.
Free.
Or very affordable.
Amazing.
So let's start with that technical foundation we keep talking about.
Right.
Online learning platforms are amazing.
They are game changers.
They're game changers.
Yeah.
Places like Coursera.
Coursera.
EDs, Udacity. They have structured courses on everything. From machine learning fundamentals.
Data science best practices.
AI product management.
They've got it all. And what's really cool about them is that it's not just like watching videos.
Right. You're not just passively absorbing information.
You're doing stuff.
You're doing hands-on exercises. You're working on real-world projects.
You're building those skills. And if you're more of a self-directed learner, like I am.
If you like to kind of go at your own pace. The internet is amazing.
The internet is your oyster.
It is full of resources. Websites like Kaggle, Data Science.
Towards Data Science.
They have tutorials.
Data sets. Community forums.
It's
all there.
You can learn so much just by exploring those websites.
And you can even participate in data science competitions. On Kaggle.
Test your skills against others.
See how you stack up.
It's a fun way to learn.
And speaking of learning.
Books. Books are amazing.
Books are still relevant.
They are still relevant.
So if you want like a mind-blowing look at AI and how it's going to impact society.
AI Superpowers by Kai-Fu Lee.
That's a good one.
That's a great one.
And then for more of a technical deep dive.
If you want to get into the nuts and bolts of machine learning.
The Master Algorithm by Pedro Domingos.
That's a classic.
Yeah, it explores the quest for the universal learning algorithm.
The one algorithm to rule them all.
That can solve any problem.
Imagine that.
Now, if you want a more practical guide.
For building AI products.
Building machine learning powered applications.
By Emmanuel Amazon.
That's a great one.
It's full of practical tips and real world examples.
Okay, so that's a lot of books.
It is a lot of books.
Well, you don't have to read them all at once.
Just
pick one.
Pick one that interests you.
Yeah, and start there.
Start there and see where it takes you.
Okay, so we've talked about learning.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the tools.
The tools for actually building. Deploying your AI. This is where it gets real.
This is where the magic happens.
And thanks to the cloud.
The cloud has made everything so much easier.
It really has.
With platforms like AWS.
Azure.
Google Cloud.
They offer a whole suite of machine learning services.
So you don't need to have a huge team of data scientists.
You don't need a huge team. Nope, you can leverage the power of AI. With these cloud-based tools.
So they handle the heavy lifting.
They do the heavy lifting.
So you can focus on
building and deploying your solutions.
It's amazing.
It really is. It's like having an AI toolbox at your fingertips.
But what if you like to tinker?
What if you're a do-it-yourselfer? Yeah. Well, there are open source options too.
Okay, like one
TensorFlow.
Scikit-learn.
These are all popular open source libraries.
Are building your own models.
For building and training machine learning models.
And they're used by everyone.
Researchers, industry professionals, everyone.
I love that the AI community is so open.
It's very open and collaborative.
Sharing these tools and resources.
It's like a giant sandbox where everyone can play and learn together.
It's so cool.
It really is.
But we do have to remember.
What's that?
With great power comes great responsibility.
Well, that's a good one.
We've been talking about all the exciting possibilities.
The possibilities.
Of AI.
But we also have to think about the impact.
The impact on society.
On society.
Yeah.
AI is a tool.
And like any tool.
It can be used for good or for evil.
Yeah. So we have to make sure.
That we're building systems that are fair, ethical, and beneficial to humanity.
So it's not just about building cool technology.
It's about building technology that makes the world a better place.
So we have to be thoughtful.
Thoughtful.
About the data.
The data.
The decisions.
The decisions.
The consequences.
Consequences.
Yeah.
It's a big responsibility.
But it's an important conversation to have.
It is.
Because AI is becoming more and more integrated into our lives.
Every single day.
So we have to shape its future.
In a responsible and ethical way.
Well said.
I think we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
From the nuts and bolts of building AI products.
To the big picture stuff.
The societal implications.
It's been an incredible journey.
It really has.
And I hope our listeners
are feeling inspired.
Yeah, to take their own AI adventures.
Remember, the future of AI is being shaped right now.
And you can be a part of it.
So keep learning, keep experimenting, and keep pushing the boundaries.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
For our deep dive into AI product management.
With the amazing Madhumita Mantri.
Until next time.
Keep exploring, keep innovating.
And keep asking those big questions.